In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're beginning with a new talk. It's Luisa and the Holy Sacrament of the Eucharist in the Divine Will. And the wonderful thing about this that's so spectacular is that Jesus, our prisoner of love in the tabernacle, as he explains to Luisa, he shows us why he is there. And as he said, I will not abandon you. I will not leave you orphans in the storm that we're in. And we have our Lord. And they say 70% of Catholics don't believe in the Eucharist anymore. They don't believe it's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And this is a very, very powerful understanding. It's Jesus teaching us. It's Jesus giving us a lesson. Jesus showing us how magnificent, how much love he loves us. He loves us with his greatness, his beauty, his holiness. And when we begin to understand our Eucharistic Lord, we begin to understand who we are. The two things that Jesus said to Luisa is, I'm going to show you who we are. We're nothing. And who God is. God is everything. And even he's breathed into this nothingness his divine life, so that we can, originally we were to be in his image and likeness. And with the fall of Adam, now what happens is we have the holy baptism in the church, this universal life that Adam lost is now given back to us in God's image. And then the reason why we're in the church is to learn how to enter into the likeness of God. And this is why Jesus is giving these lessons, these knowledges, these truths to Luisa. He's saying, I want to show you how and why this is going to happen. So we who have the Book of Heaven, how glorious is this? We have the opportunity every day to have Jesus teach us. This is not Luisa's reflections. She is the writer. Jesus is the dictator, and he dictates these words to her, and she puts them down for us. So we'll begin. We're on volume 16, 11, 5, 19, 23. And, this is so magnificent what our Lord is doing. He's such a glorious God that he gives us these truths, these manifestations, these knowledges, these promises to Luisa and now to us. So here's Luisa. Luisa says, now while I was pouring out my pain with Jesus, he made himself seen in my interior. Okay. So the pain and the suffering that we see Luisa going through, is essential for us to understand. This is where we are as well. We're going through, all of us are in suffering, either physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, suffering, to a greater or lesser degree than the person next to us. All of us are going through this. So what do we do with this suffering? What is this suffering about? And, so Jesus shows her who he is in her interior. That's where we're going to find our Lord as well, within us. Jesus is showing us through holy baptism, we are now in God's image. And now God wants to reveal to us our likeness and what he wants us to do to become in his likeness. So our likeness to God. So in the sacrament of veils performed through as though in a mirror, and Jesus was inside of it. So here, Jesus made himself seen in Luisa's interior, and the sacrament of veils formed as though a mirror, and Jesus was inside of it too. So Jesus is inside the tabernacle alive as he's inside of us alive, alive and real. And my sweet Jesus told me, my daughter, this mirror, this is the accidents of the bread that keep me imprisoned within them. So, here Jesus is showing us who he is in the tabernacle. He says, the accidents of the bread keep Jesus imprisoned within him. He is within the Holy Eucharist. He says, I form my life in the host, but the host does not give me anything, not one affection, not a heartbeat, not the littlest I love you. So he's showing us that Jesus, yes, he's in the tabernacle, but there's no I love you to himself. No one is adoring him from the outside. There's not one affection, not one heartbeat, not one little I love you from anyone when he's in the tabernacle. He says, it is as though dead for me. I remain alone without the shadow of requital. The Lord gives this I love you, and he expects an I love you back. It's the breathing. We breathe in with his I love you, and we breathe out an I love you back to God. He says it's the waves of the shore. The waves go in and the waves go out. It's an I love you to mankind, and now an I love you back to God. And that's our job. Adam's job was to reflect, to give back to God this divine I love you. And this is what we find in the Eucharist. This is what's so glorious. He says, but do you know where I find my true requital? I find my true requital in the soul who lives in my divine will. And that's what Jesus is showing us. He's allowing us to experience this new and divine way of holiness. And he's asking us, are you ready to begin to live this abundant life? He says, as I descend into the soul's heart, immediately I consume the accidents of the host, because I, as God, know that more noble accidents, more dear to me, are ready to imprison me and to not let me go out of that heart that give me, Jesus says, not only life within itself, but life for life. So here, Jesus is showing us that I consume the accidents of the host in the soul because I know that a more noble accidents, more dear to me, this is our bodies, are ready to imprison me and to not let me go out of that heart. And these souls will give to me not only life within itself, but life for life. This is something that's so beautiful about the church. When people begin to understand what the Holy Church is about, they will give their lives to the church. This house of God, if you want to say, that the Lord has created for mankind, the Holy Catholic Church. And when the people begin to understand what Jesus is doing with the sacraments and sacramentals in the Holy Church, what happens is he says, they will give me life for life. They will say, I surrender my life to you, Lord, because you have surrendered your life for me. This consumption, this love is so powerful that people can give up their lives, to enter the religious life, because they want to get closer to God. This is what a family does. A father and mother give their lives up. Why? So God can give them children and they feed these children the Catholic faith, the universal life. And that family basically has vocations in their the single vocation, the single life, a married life, a religious life. It's a life that God is within. And our whole being wants to give back to God this divine I love you in the vocation that God has given us. He says, I descend into the heart immediately and I consume the accidents in the soul that lives in the divine will of the host, because I know more noble accidents, more dear to me, are ready to imprison me and to not let me go out of that heart, and that shall give me not only life within the soul, but life for life. And I, God, shall not be alone, but with my most faithful company. Here Jesus is finding his most dear friends. And that's what he says about the children of the divine will. He says, you are my most dear children. He says, what I'm giving to you is what I'm offering to you, basically, is what I breathed into Adam, image and likeness of God. And now that we are at the end of time, it's not the end of the world, but now that we're at the end of time, what Jesus is saying, I want you now to get ready for eternity. Those are the words of the Blessed Mother to Bruno in 1947. Get ready for this life, this light, this love of God. And he says that I won't be alone anymore, but I will be with my most faithful company. And then he says, we shall be two hearts palpitating together. We shall love united, and our desires shall be one. That's heaven. God is not going to be alone. We're not going to be alone. He says the two hearts, this is our heart and the Lord's heart, palpitating together, and we shall love united. Our desire shall be one. What is our desire? It's to know love and serve God, and now to know love and possess God. He says, so I, God, remain in the soul, and there I, God, live life. I live it alive. I live it real, just as I do in the Most Holy Sacrament. So what Jesus is teaching Louisa here is what he taught St. Faustina. He said to St. Faustina, he said, would you become a living host? And Faustina said, yes. And now in the Book of Heaven, Jesus teaches us how and why we will become living hosts, how God is going to do this. That's the expression of St. Louis de Montfort. In the final days, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world. And it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. God is doing this. So he says, they are acts. But do you know where these accidents are? I find in the soul themselves around me. The soul does my will. These are the acts done by my volition. More than the accidents, they lay themselves around me and imprison me, but inside a noble and divine prison. This is our hearts, our minds, our souls. He says, not a dark prison, because the acts done in my divine will are more than the sun in the sky. They illuminate the soul and warm the soul. When we talk about the illumination of conscience, this is the Book of Heaven. In my understanding, this is the Book of Heaven. What Jesus has taught Louisa, we're going to be able to understand what this means. Right now, we're very limited in our understanding of it. We have the words of Jesus to Louisa, but how and why this is done is far from us. So often I hear somebody calling and saying, oh, I found the trick, the secret, the knowledge that will help us understand the divine will. And I go, what is it? And they go, well, in volume 3, Jesus says dot, 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 dot. And I said, well, that's volume 3. Wait till you get to volume 30, what Jesus is going to say there. He keeps on expanding our capacity to begin to understand this new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul talked about. This is illuminating us. This is helping us become aware of the beauty of the church, the power of the church, why the evil one wants to destroy the church, why the evil one wants to take people away from the Catholic understanding, this illumination. Oh, how happy, Jesus says, I, God, feel to form my real life in the soul. So here he's saying, when we receive Holy Communion, we receive Jesus in a mystical way until the host dissolves. He says, now, with the divine will, I'm forming my real life in the soul, because I, God, feel as if I were inside my celestial royal palace. See, what Jesus is doing with the Book of Heaven, he's clothing us with divinity again. He's clothing us with divinity. So he needs us to allow him to vest us, dress us royally. And this is why he says, when I form my real life in the soul, he says, this is how I lived in Adam. This is how I lived in my mother. This is how I lived in myself. He says, now it's the time for souls to begin to live this abundant life. look inside my heart, inside your heart. So Jesus teaches Luisa in the Book of Heaven how to form the throne of God in our hearts. This has to be the Lord's throne, not just temporarily when we feel like it, but always, always. And this is, he says, look at me inside your heart. So what Jesus is doing with Luisa, he's teaching us also how to find Jesus within, how to find our Lord. How happy I am. He uses God's name. How happy I am. How I delight and feel the purest joys in those souls who form my celestial royal palace. This is the happiness. It's the beginning of this divine happiness that will grow exponentially throughout our whole life. This is what's coming. And the Lord wants us to be, he says to Luisa, I want you to live the resurrected life, my resurrected life, before you die. I want you to experience this resurrected life of Jesus. And he wants us to begin to breathe this. So he says this is not a mystical life, as for those who possess my grace, but do not live with their accidents, their acts identified with my volition, within my volition. So here Jesus says, it's not the mystical life. See, he's going beyond what he has shown us with the Holy Eucharist. He's saying, as for those who possess my grace, but do not live with their accidents, by their accidents, identified with within my holy divine will. They do not have sufficient material to form the accidents in order to imprison me. So Jesus is showing us that when we do our acts and our rounds, when we learn how to pray the rounds, and again, this is essential, learning how to pray the rounds of creation, pray the rounds of redemption. He's asking us to enter into this life. Luisa said to Jesus, what's more important for me to pray the rounds of creation or the rounds of redemption? And Jesus says, both are important to me. So we're learning how to pray this divine I love you that God is expecting to see in us. And he says, because this isn't a mystical life. He says, this is a real life. My royal palace is there. I'm clothing my children in divinity. He says, it would be as if the priest did not have the host and wanted to pronounce the words of consecration. Okay, so here Jesus says, it would be as foolish for a priest to go to the altar without the bread, without the host, and pronounce the words of consecration and think that the Eucharist was there. Jesus says the accidents are needed. The bread is needed. The wine is needed. He could say these words, but he would say them to empty space. My sacramental life, Jesus says, would certainly not have existed if there wasn't the bread, if there wasn't the wine. He says, this is how I am. He uses God's name again in the hearts that though they may possess my grace, do not live completely in my divine will. Okay, so here, Jesus is showing us something that is, it's a mystery. We look at the lives of the saints. We look at what the saints have gone through, their prayers, their fasting, their suffering, their denial, what they've gone through all in their life. He says they possess my grace. He says, but they do not live completely in my divine will. So he's saying, I'm going to give you more than what I gave to the saints. Okay. Now, when you think about it, Adam, when he fell from such a height, it was a miracle that he survived. Jesus tells Luisa, but you have Moses and you have King David and you have Elijah and you have all these great men and women of the Old Testament, but they never received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Were they less of human? No, it wasn't time. When Jesus came to earth 4,000 years later, when Jesus breathed into the apostles and they began to get ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, they were ready. They were ready to begin to baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Everything began at that point. The church was born on Calvary from the side of Jesus. And what happened at that point, it was a new beginning for humanity. The universal life was given back to humanity. And now, 2,000 years later, Jesus is now saying, now I want you to live completely in my divine will. Not just in the way the saints have lived, by doing the will of God, but now living in the will of God is what God is asking. This is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So he says, I am in them by grace. This is the saints, but not in reality. Okay. He says, and Louisa says, my love, how can it be that you can really live in a soul who lives in your divine will? Now that's our question. When they were striving to live this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, but now you're saying you can really live in the souls who live in the divine will. And Jesus says this, do I perhaps not live in the sacramental host, alive and real, in body, blood, soul, and divinity? And we go, yes, you do. And why do I live in the host, body, blood, soul, and divinity? Because there is not a will that opposes me. Okay, so it's Jesus. There's nothing that is opposed to him. If I found, he said, in the host, a will opposed to mine, I would form neither the real nor the perennial life in the host. And this is also the reason why the sacramental accidents are consumed when creatures receive me, because I, God, do not find a human will united with me in such a way as to want to lose its human will in order to acquire mine. But I find a human will that wants to act, that wants to do things on its own. So this is the sadness of Jesus. He said, I created the human will for God. I created the universe for mankind. I created the human will for God. When man says, I don't need you, God, I'm in charge. He says, I do not find a human will united with my holy divine will in such a way as to want to lose the human will. Now that's the key to living in the divine will. We want to say to Jesus every day when we do our prevenient act in the morning and when our actual acts throughout the day, I don't want to live in my human will anymore, Lord. I want to live in your most holy divine will. I want to acquire yours, Lord. What's my human will? My human will is when we go to confession. It's very clear what it is. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. I don't want to live like this. I want to surrender completely to you, Lord, that you will be my Lord, my master, my King, my Savior, my God, my all. And I will avoid the near occasions of sin. Why? To live this abundant life. This is the war we're in. The evil one wants to pull us into hell. How? By the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus wants to bring us into heaven. How? Through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So our job is to say to God, I want to lose my human will. My human will is my misery. My human will is what I have to confess each week when I go to confession. I want your divine will, Lord. So he says, with those souls that want to do things in their own human will, he says, I make a little visit and I leave. On the other hand, for the soul who lives in my divine will and hers are one. And if I do this in the heart, in the host, how much more can I do in the soul? More so, since I find a heartbeat, an affection. And then my return and my interest that I do not find in the host. So to the soul who lives in my divine will, my real life is within the soul. Hers is necessary. Otherwise, how could I live? How can she live in my divine will? How can she live in my volition? Okay, so Jesus is showing us that he's offering this to us. Do you want to live in the divine will? And that's why we pray every morning. Yes, I want to live in the divine will. God goes, good, watch what I will do. So now it's volume 17, 12, 24, 19, 24. As long as I live, Jesus says, I gave myself in an unveiled manner So we saw the holy humanity of Christ 2,000 years ago. Then a few hours before dying, I made the great prodigy of leaving myself in the sacrament. So at the Last Supper, he says, this is my body. This is my blood. This is great. Some people say, well, he really didn't mean that. Oh, he was tricking the apostles. He knows he's going to die, and I'm going to play a joke on them. This is my body. This is my blood. No, he didn't play a joke on them. This is his body. This is his blood. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. I made the great prodigy of leaving myself in the sacrament, the Holy Eucharist, so that whoever wanted me could receive the great gift of my life. I paid no attention either to the offices they would give me or to their refusals to receive me. But Jesus says, but I said to myself, I have given myself and I do not withdraw ever. So here's this docility, this surrender, this submission of God to us. Let them do to me whatever they want, and I shall always be theirs, at their disposal. So let's look at the parishes. Empty. Let them do with me as they wish. There are some souls that spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. Jesus says to the little children, the Holy Divine Will, I'm asking you, would you be willing to step up and be with me? Would you be willing to step up and begin to understand my divine love for you? And that's why we have Eucharistic adoration. It's John Paul II wanted every parish to have Eucharistic adoration. So the Lord is looking at us and he's saying, are you ready to begin to live this abundant life? Are you really beginning? Do you want this? And when we say yes, he goes, good. He says, let them do to me whatever they want. Do we console our Lord? Do we go in and spend time with our Lord? Or do we go in and read a book? Do we fall in love with Jesus when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament? And it's very important how we spend our time with our Eucharistic Lord. If we're falling in love with him, good. If we're reading a book, I don't know about that. That's not being in communion with our God. St. Teresa says, if you can't fall in love with God, yes, read a paragraph and then meditate on that by looking at the Lord. Read something that will help your mind focus on our Eucharistic Lord and then spend time with him. We don't want to banish books, but if we're just reading a story and the Lord is in front of us, we've got to begin to fall in love with him. It's essential. Volume 18, 11, 5, 19, 25. Do not let your love stop. Go through all the tabernacles, through each sacramental host. And in each host, you will hear the Holy Spirit moan with unutterable sorrow. How do you go through all the tabernacles? You can. And Jesus will teach you. He says to Luis, I'm waiting for you to spend your 30. We read in part one. 33 visits every day. So like I mentioned before, go to the church where you were baptized and kneel in front of the Blessed Sacrament with your mind's eye. Go to the church where you were confirmed. Go to the church where you were married. Go to the church where you were ordained and spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. Kneel in front of the Blessed Sacrament, even if it's only for a moment, just to say, I love you. But begin to understand that Jesus is in each tabernacle and he's abandoned. Don't let your love stop. Go through all the tabernacles, through each sacramental host. In each host, you will hear the Holy Spirit moan with unutterable sorrow. The sacrament of the Holy Eucharist is not only their own life that souls receive, but it is my very life that gives itself to them. We have to begin to see this. When we go to Holy Mass, don't get there at the last minute. Oh, I got Mass at 10 o'clock. I'm leaving at 5 to 10. I'll get there in time. Spend time before the Blessed Sacrament, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him. After Holy Communion, the Mass ends. Why? to spend time in communion with our God. It's not the not to leave before the final blessing of the priest, which is Jesus' blessing. It's to, after Holy Communion, spend that 15 minutes adoring God, loving God, praising God, thanking God, glorifying God, worshiping God. Spend that time with our Eucharistic Lord. He says, so the fruit of this sacrament is to form my life in souls. And each communion serves to make my life grow, to develop it in such a way that one may be able to say, I am another Christ. That's what Jesus is waiting for. Image and likeness. But alas, how few take advantage of it, Jesus says. Even more, how many times I descend into hearts and they make me feel the weapons, or excuse me, find the weapons to wound me, and repeat for me the tragedy of my passion. And the sacramental species are consumed. Instead of pressing me to stay with them, I am forced to leave bathed in tears, crying over my sacramental lot. And I find no one who calms my crying, no one who calms my sorrowful moans. If you could break those veils of the host that cover me, you would find me bathed with crying, now knowing that the lot that awaits me in descending into these hot hearts. How many people receive Holy Communion, get in their car, and back to the world? He says, so therefore, let your requital of love for each host be continuous in order to calm my crying and to render less sorrowful the moans of the Holy Spirit. So in volume 19, he shows us the moans that he goes through with each sacrament. He's making us aware of all that God is doing for us and how little we return. Volume 20, 11-2, 1926, the Eucharistic sacrament that I left as food in order to give them perfect health. He says, many eat it over and over again, and they appear always sick. See, Jesus wants to heal us. He says it very clearly. He needs to heal us. He wants to heal us. He says, poor food, this is the Eucharist, of my very life, hidden under the veils of the accidents of the bread. How many corrupted palates, how many undigesting stomachs that prevent the creatures from enjoying the taste of my food and digesting all the strength of my sacramental life. So here, Jesus feeds us. Why? So we can share in his divinity. He feeds us. Why? So that we can overcome our human misery. That's our human will. He's been feeding us now for 2,000 years. And he says, now, he says, Jesus says, I'm ready to give you more. And that's why everything's falling apart. When our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, our nations, everything's falling apart. Why? What's coming is glorious. And he says, I have to prepare my bride. I have to iron her dress. I have to get rid of the stains on her wedding dress, because great things are coming. Magnificent things are coming. And he says, but the people that receive my Holy Eucharist, he says, they're not enjoying the taste of my divine food. And so they remain infirm, sick, because there are members feverish in evil, and they take it with no appetite. This is why I, God, long so much for the coming of the kingdom of the supreme fiat, because then everything I, Jesus, did in coming upon earth will serve as food for those who enjoy perfect health, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, perfect health. That's what's coming. The soul who possesses my divine will shall have my perennial life within her and shall serve her as continuous food, not once a day like the food of my sacramental life. In fact, my divine will shall make greater display, nor shall it be content with giving itself once a day, but it shall give itself continuously, because it knows that these souls have pure palates. These souls have strong stomachs. to be able to enjoy and digest in every moment the strength, the light, the divine life. That's what's coming to the earth. That's why if you look around, everything is divided. Which side do you want to be on? Which side do you want? Jesus says, I have to give to everybody what they want. He's making it very clear. If you really look at every situation, what side do you want? Do you want of God or do you want of the evil one? What do you want? I have to give this to you. Why? The kingdom is coming. And as Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, Our Lady of Revelation, time has now come to an end. It's time now to decide. Jesus says this. He says, the sacraments, my sacramental life shall serve as food, as delight, as a new divine happiness for the life of my supreme fiat that they shall possess. Listen to that. The Holy Eucharist, he says, you haven't seen anything yet. When the divine will reigns, Jesus tells Luisa, watch the power of the Holy Eucharist for those who love him. What do you mean by those who love him? Those who are spending time with him. Those that give up their time to spend with him. He says, the sacraments, my sacramental life shall serve as food, as delight, as a new divine happiness for the life of the supreme fiat that they shall possess fully. That's what's coming. The kingdom of my divine will shall be the true echo of the celestial fatherland. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so Jesus says, this is what's happening, in which while the blessed possess their God as their own life, they shall receive him into themselves also from the outside. So his throne is within us. But we're also going to receive him more and more inside and outside of themselves. Divine life they shall possess. Divine life they shall receive. That's heaven on earth. What shall not be my divine happiness, Jesus says, in giving myself sacramentally to the children of the eternal fiat and in finding my own life in my children. Then shall my sacramental life have its complete fruit. As the species are consumed, I, Jesus, shall no longer have the sorrow of leaving my children without the food of my continuous life, because my divine will, more than sacramental accidents, shall maintain its divine life always and with full possession. In the kingdom of my divine will, there shall be neither foods nor communions that are ever interrupted, but they're always perennial. And everything that I, Jesus, did in redemption shall serve no longer as remedy, but as delight, as joy, as happiness, as beauty ever growing. So he's saying, we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. He's given, look at the saints, look at the lives of the saints. Doing the will of God, they spent time with their Eucharistic Lord. Now Jesus says, now is the time where what I'm going to do in the Holy Eucharist is not just going to be a remedy, but it's going to be a delight, divine joy, divine happiness, divine beauty, ever growing. Why? So the triumph of the supreme fiat shall give complete fruit to the kingdom of redemption. So he says before, the kingdom of creation is not completed. Now he says the kingdom of redemption is not completed. What's coming in the new era is the complete fruit of the kingdom of redemption. We're going to participate in that. And Jesus says you could start now if you wish. Your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin can disappear if you're focused on me, Jesus says. Volume 20, 120, 1927. My daughter, do you know that there is a communion that is eternal, so great and not subject to either diminishing or being consumed? Its veils, listen to this, that hide it in the midst of creatures are not subject to perishing like the veils of the sacramental host. So he's saying you're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. This is what's coming. He says, it's not like what you're seeing now when you see the veils of the tabernacle. He says, the veils that hide it in the midst of creatures are not subject to perishing like the veils of the sacramental host. The host is consumed and gone. If, he says, it gives itself at every instant, it gives itself at every breath, it gives itself at every heartbeat in all circumstances. Communion with God, a perennial communion with God. What was that? Adam walked and talked in the cool of the evening with God. That's what's coming. God isn't going to be far from us. He's within us, Jesus says. If you've made your heart his throne, he's within you. And now he says you're going to be at every instant, each breath, each heartbeat, in all circumstances, one with God. Even more, one must always be with one's mouth open to be able to receive them all, like a bird, mouth wide open. Fill me, the bird says to his mother. Fill me with everything. Let me become more alive. That is with the will of always wanting to receive this communion so great. This is the perennial communion. So great and so continuous that as much as it gives itself, it is not subject to either diminishing or being consumed. So what God is asking, he says, are you beginning to understand what I want to fill you with? I want to fill you with this share in divinity. He says, you have already understood that this communion so great and continuous is, it is my divine fiat. And it that flows as life within your soul, as heat to fecundate you and to make you grow, as food to nourish you. So here he's saying what he's begun with us. He says, the communion that I want you to have, this perennial communion, is so continuous and great. It's my divine fiat. I want it to flow as life within your soul. I want it to be heat to fundicate you. I want it to make it grow as food to nourish you. It flows in the blood of your veins, in the beating of your heart. It flows in everything. And it is always, always in the act of giving itself to you. Do you see what Jesus is doing? If you just want to receive it. So now that helps us understand the spiritual communions that we do every day. If you receive Holy Communion, good, but learn to do spiritual communions. Learn to want to receive Jesus continuously. With justice and by right, the communion of my divine will was to be without limits and not subject to being consumed because it is the origin, which means that it's the means and the ends of the creature. It's our beginning. It's our end. It's our everything. He says, and therefore, if the soul was to be able to receive it in such a way that it could never, never be lacking to her, a continuous communion, a perennial communion. In fact, something that is origin means the end must be in continuous act of giving itself and of being received. You breathe in, you breathe out. You're receiving and you're giving. If it were not so, the soul's origin of living and the means to sustain herself would be lacking for the poor soul, and the soul would lose the end that she must reach. That's God. We're returning to our beginning. Therefore, my infinite wisdom could never allow that the communion of my divine will be limited for the little children, the holy divine will. Good things are coming. We'll end with a prayer. We'll end with a blessing, and we'll be back in 15 minutes in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.